Don't let diaper rash come between you and your baby. Diaper rash can be one of the worst experiences your little one has to go through. Keeping their delicate skin healthy and happy shouldn't require a spatula to apply thick and goopy treatments that can be just as irritating and uncomfortable. When my oldest was little, she would get the worst diaper rash. It left me feeling so desperate to help her while also wanting something gentle on her skin. Dr. Mom Butt Balm is a pediatrician-approved skin protectant free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide. It was developed by a mom who is also a doctor. When she couldn't find any traditional products that worked for her baby's persistent diaper rash, she let nothing get in her way. You can use just a small amount of Dr. Mom Butt Balm to help soothe your baby's skin and feel confident that you are making the right choice. Dr. Mom is committed to providing an ultra-premium formula for moms that won't settle when it comes to their little ones. Soothe and restore with active ingredients being dimethicone and petrolatum. You can find more about Dr. Mom Butt Balm at drmombuttbalm.com or find it on Amazon or walmart.com. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. We are going to be talking about prenatal fitness today with the one and only Gina Conley. Gina is the founder of Mama Stay Fit, a prenatal fitness training company based out in North Carolina. Gina is a fitness trainer specialized in pre and postnatal fitness and a birth doula, and she combines her expertise in both to prepare her clients for a strong pregnancy and birth. Fitness in general is one of my all-time favorite things to do and even talk about, and I do notice a difference when I'm not moving my body. But when it comes to pregnancy, there are a lot of questions surrounding fitness. Is it safe? When is it okay to start? Is it really okay to start later on? How to start? And so much more. I can't wait to dive in on all the amazing information that Gina is going to share after our review of the week. And just a reminder, if you have not already left a review, I would love to invite you to do so. You can leave your review on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, Facebook, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Today's review is by Janae Rochelle. It says, "The best there is." It says, "I am so happy I found this incredible podcast. After having two prior C-sections, I was convinced I would have to have another C-section for my birth this November. I feel empowered and educated and hopeful I can do this. Thank you for all the true facts and the safe space where we can all talk about our birth trauma and space where we don't sound quote unquote crazy for wanting to do something God created our bodies to do." Thank you, Janae Rochelle, for leaving that review. You are right. This is that space. This is the space where we do talk about all the crazy things, where we talk about the trauma, where we talk about the things where in the outside world, if we were to discuss, people would and sometimes do look at us like we may be crazy. But Women of Strength, if you are wanting to pursue a VBAC, if you are wanting to learn about the evidence about VBAC, this is definitely the place. All of these stories here are going to share so much information, guidance, facts, all the things, and definitely leave you inspired. Hi. My name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after two C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional. Hey everyone, this is Megan. Preparing for my VBA2C was pretty lonely at times. This is why I, along with Julie, created a Facebook community for all the parents preparing for their VBACs. You can find the link to the community in the episode notes today, or head over to facebook.com and search the VBAC Link community. This is our safe space to share our stories, tips, and advice on how to achieve a VBAC and ask each other questions.
Just remember, studies show 60 to 80% of people who attempt a VBAC will be successful. We're here for each other on this journey. To join, go over to facebook.com and search the VBAC Link community and start feeling the love and support today. Okay. Oh my gosh. It's been so fun. We've actually recently just had a couple returning guests from the show that have also been on like 2-3 years down the road. And right before we started recording, Gina's like, I just had someone say that they listened to my episode that was on your podcast before, which was really like 3 years ago. So it's been so fun to see that people, one, are still listening all the way back to 3 years ago. And then two, have you back on the show. So welcome.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yes, it's such an honor. You know that I just love you to pieces. I'm so excited to talk about fitness and prenatal and postpartum and all the things today, because this really is a topic that as a first-time mom, I didn't really know much about. And when I was first pregnant with my daughter, who is now 12, I was just determined. I was like, I'm going to like run. I'm going to run a half marathon. This is going to be so great. I'm going to be one of those people running through like with a big belly. And I was like really excited to be fit and active. And let me tell you, I was the opposite of that. And it really was when I was training, I started having like round ligament pains and just pelvic pains. And when I talked to my doctor, he actually told me to stop. He told me to stop. Which is kind of crazy to me looking back that it wasn't even just like, you know, maybe do less miles or don't train for a full, you know, a half marathon right now, but like do 5K, whatever. It was just like, you should just stop. It's too much. So I don't know why I took that advice as, okay, I should stop and I should eat Chinese food every day because orange chicken sounded amazing. And I should really just not do anything besides be unhealthy. And that's truly how I felt like I was in my first pregnancy. But I don't think providers all over the world are telling people not to work out necessarily like mine did that, you know, 12 years ago. But I think that it's a very daunting topic and we don't know what to do. And I think a lot of people who may not be very physically active before pregnancy are unsure what they can during pregnancy, if it's safe and all the things. So we have a big list of questions today to ask you. And really number one is it bad to work out during pregnancy? My easy answer is no, but I think it's a real answer. So can we talk about that? Like working out during pregnancy, is it bad? Is it good? Tell me all the things.
So there's a lot of fear mongering and fear involved with exercise during pregnancy. Like there's this really long list of things that you shouldn't do. And so it gets really overwhelming to know like, well, what can I do when the majority of the things that you see are don't do sit-ups, don't do this, don't do that. If you lift weights, you'll have a miscarriage. And so a lot of the fear that comes with fitness during pregnancy is it going to affect my baby's development and growth? Like, am I harming my baby by exercising? And then the second is it going to affect my pregnancy length? Am I going to have a miscarriage or am I going to go into preterm labor because I was exercising during my pregnancy? And the answer to both those is generally no. Like, just as a disclaimer, absolutely, there are complications in which exercise, like the benefit of exercising does not outweigh the risks of exercising. And these are usually like folks that have pre-existing heart and lung conditions. If you have like uncontrolled diabetes, like if you're actively in preterm labor, your placenta is detaching, like you have severe preeclampsia, there are circumstances in which exercising is not safe. And your provider should be very clear with communicating that to you. And you will probably already have pre-existing exercise recommendations if it's like a pre-existing health condition. But for the majority of us that are of a normal risk pregnancy, low, even some high-risk pregnancies, exercise is typically very safe to do. And so a lot of research supports that it does not cause miscarriage and it does not affect the length of your pregnancy, which is one of the main concerns with exercising. The risk of miscarriage is highest in the first trimester, and it doesn't differ whether you exercise or you don't. And exercise does not cause miscarriage. It's just something else that like folks like to be blamed for when they do have a pregnancy loss. So it was because I went running. It was because I lifted weights. Typically, there's nothing that you could do to like to prevent that pregnancy loss. And it just sucks to like be mourning this and then have this like additional guilt put on you of like, it was because you were lifting weights. There are people that are sedentary that don't exercise at all that have miscarriages. Like, are we blaming them? It's because you didn't exercise? No, because it's one of those things that's out of our control. The second thing is it going to affect my baby's development? Like, is it going to make them too small? Is it going to make them too large? One of the things that can make your baby too small is the placenta. So if the placenta hasn't developed properly or there's like an issue or complication with the placenta, it can make your baby too small. Well, exercise helps to improve the function of your placenta, especially if you exercise in the first half of your pregnancy, which is like really cool. So your placenta will be more voluminous, it'll be larger, and it'll have improved functional capacity. So it's going to be able to transfer oxygen and nutrients to your baby much more effectively. It's going to help provide like immune function to your baby. It's going to provide hormone function to your baby. It's also going to help remove metabolic waste more effectively. So it's going to be a much more efficient organ, which is going to help to support your baby's growth. The second half is like, is it going to make my baby too big? I think most folks are not like concerned about exercising, making their baby too big. But exercising could decrease the risk of developing gestational diabetes. So obviously you can still exercise and eat super healthy and still develop gestational diabetes. It's not like a foolproof method to avoid it, but exercising can help reduce your risk of developing gestational diabetes by like 39%, which is pretty substantial. And if you do develop it, continuing to exercise and eat well can also help to reduce the risk of you needing to get insulin or medication to manage your gestational diabetes. Those are the things that are contribute towards developing a baby that's too large. So having gestational diabetes that's controlled with insulin, uncontrolled gestational diabetes, and those two things can be mitigated with exercise. So exercise can actually help your baby grow like more optimally to have like really good body composition and like be a really good size. In addition, which is really cool, and this is like stuff that I was researching when I was writing my new book, Training for Two, which comes out in September. I'm really excited about it. It's my, I guess it's like the twin to my current pregnancy.
Awesome.
But one of the things that I was researching, because our editor was like, we really need to highlight why exercise is so beneficial for baby, because this is something that's going to help motivate people to move their body. And something for me that has been helping to motivate me during my current pregnancy to like move when I'm kind of like, but I don't really feel up to it, is one, it helps to improve your baby's nervous system development, which is really cool. It helps to increase their blood volume as well. So they have more blood reserve to respond to the stresses of labor, to postpartum, after they are an infant, like when they're in the world. It improves their brain development, so they have more cognitive function. And these are all things that are probably in response to the stimulus of exercise. So we're introducing more stimulus to them during exercise because of this like controlled stress that we're introducing, which is helping to build all these new neural pathways and like helping them like just kind of start doing things a little bit earlier. And so what that translates to in the first year of life, they have more motor skill development. So they're fine and gross motor skills. So they're crawling earlier, they're walking earlier, they're rolling and doing things earlier. They have more cognitive function, and that's like responding with like higher levels of IQ, like improved language skills. Like, so there's a lot of benefit to just being active. And it doesn't have to be like go and lift super heavy weights. It can just be going for walks every day, like doing yoga every day, like doing intentional movement throughout the day is exercise. Like, it doesn't have to be like how I exercise. Then what happens is, even though there's all of these benefits to exercising and fairly little risk, unless you have like a complication, which your provider will ideally walk you through, even though there's all these benefits, there's still a lot of fear involved with working out during pregnancy. And a lot of it's just like outdated guidance and folks. And I think it probably relates to like the fear of like women, like lifting weights and exercising too. Like, maybe it's a little bit of that as well.
Yeah.
And then make it somebody who's pregnant and it's just like a double whammy. And so we have this mentality of like, well, it's better to be safe than sorry. And it's like, well, actually you can be sorry. You can actually be sorry if you don't move your body intentionally during your pregnancy. Because one, you're going to like, not that your baby will be less developed, but we're going to say like, no thanks to those additional development things that they're having with the nervous system and their brain development. Those are two really big deals, I think. Like, we're going to say no a larger, more functional placenta, which really helps to decrease the risk of developing certain complications during pregnancy. We're going to say like, I'm good with increasing my risk of developing like a prenatal complication, which again, exercising does not equal no complications, but it does reduce the risk to include preeclampsia, like gestational hypertension, like gestational diabetes. And if we have a healthier pregnancy, it's going to serve us better during labor as well, or in the preparation for labor. If we develop complications, it increases the necessity of a medical induction. It increases the number of interventions that were being used during our birth. And yes, I am so thankful for medical intervention and for C-sections and for these things that save lives. But if we can use less of them because we're healthier going into our birth, that's going to help improve birth outcomes as well. And this is a VBAC podcast. So if you're wanting to have a vaginal birth after C-section, like being healthier during your pregnancy by moving your body intentionally is a really good way to help reduce the risk of like needing these additional interventions, which are very, I'm thankful for them. But if you don't need them, let's go around that. Let's do that.
Let's avoid them if we can. Absolutely. And let me tell you, like, you know, talking about my first pregnancy that I just kind of quit. I mean, I didn't even really walk. I mean, not even like a 30-minute stroll at night. I just stopped and I really didn't pay attention to my protein intake or what I was really eating. And I mean, I was literally told this at the end, like that I was unrecognizable. Everything about my body was like trying to just make a baby, and it was showing in the negative way because I was struggling. I got super swollen. I gained a lot more weight. I really was like not in shape. And then when labor came, it was harder. It was a lot harder. And then postpartum was really hard. And then having to like catch up to just all the things that I did to my body. But then not even to think about all the things that you just said about the baby. I mean, I was one of those people that kind of signed up to the no thanks. I mean, essentially, right? It wasn't like in my head that I was saying that. And then after that pregnancy, I was like, I will not do that again. And I did. I started changing my ways and doing intentional movement. And I became like a bar coach and really wanting to like be active. And it was a night and day difference. Night and day difference. And like, I don't think like my baby, you know, I don't think my baby's like less smart or whatever, but I will say that like what you said, I can look back and be like, oh, I can recognize those things. So that's kind of interesting.
So it's not like if you don't exercise, like you're screwing your baby's life or anything. Like, no. I don't know how substantial the difference is between the two, but if you can do things to help improve your baby's growth and development, like I think we would want to do that, even if it's just go for a walk, just move your body. And I think one of the things, this is the next question that's on the list, is like, well, what do I do if I wasn't active before pregnancy? Because I do get folks that'll either come to my gym, like we're located in Aberdeen, North Carolina. We have an in-person training facility. And so we'll have folks that show up and be like, I have never exercised before in my life, but I heard it's really good for me and I'm pregnant. Help me. You can absolutely start an exercise program during pregnancy. And this is hard to know because you get told like whatever you're doing before pregnancy, you could just continue during your pregnancy, just do a little bit less. Well, like what if I was not doing anything? How do I do less than that? Right. Like, what is that even like? And so you can absolutely start an exercise program during pregnancy. Yes, it will look different than like pre-pregnancy workouts. If you were an active person before pregnancy, like there will be some sort of modification that needs to happen because workouts can't look exactly the same when we're pregnant. But if you're like, okay, well, how do I even begin? Just start, pick like 20 minutes where you go for a walk. Pick like 20 minutes where you choose like a Peloton on demand video. They have like prenatal ones on there too, where you just follow that. Like we have prenatal on demand, like workout videos as well. We also have like a prenatal app based program. So we have some different options as well. Just choose like a 20 minute option and just move your body, use lighter weights. Like we're not trying to get super sore. You probably will be sore like the first week or so, it's normal, but like, don't be working out so hard that you're like incapacitated the rest of your day, but start for like 20 minutes and do that like 3 times a week. And then the next week do it 4 times and then increase it to 30 minutes. And then maybe it's 40 minutes and then you're walking more. And so we're just going to start really slow and manageable, and then we're going to just slowly increase during pregnancy. The main goal during pregnancy is 150 minutes of moderate intensity activity per week. That's the minimum goal. So if you exceed that, that's totally fine. Like research supports that even higher intensity activity is perfectly safe during pregnancy, like higher volume of exercise is perfectly safe. But the bare minimum that we're trying to aim for is 150 minutes. And so that's 5 days a week for 30 minutes. Or whatever the math is for the other ones. But you can also do more than that. So I would start with like 20 minutes of something that feels manageable for you and do that. And if it's, hey, I need to follow a program, we've got programs for you. Like, we've developed them for pregnancy specifically. There's Peloton On Demand. There's so many like workout programs out there for pregnancy too. Like, they're going to have safe modifications for you. You can hire a personal trainer. You can join an in-person gym. Like, we're just looking for you to move your body in a way that feels manageable for you. And it's okay if it's not like perfect pregnancy workouts either. Now, if you're an active person, or you're like, okay, I have done my month of exercising, I'm feeling more confident, this is where we can start to really ensure that our workouts are not only like keeping us active and moving us during our pregnancy, but also helping us actually prepare for birth. And so common workout programs are really focused on like front to back type movement patterns. So this is a sagittal plane. This is like squats, deadlifts, cleans, like clean and jerks, box jumps. Everything is very front to back because this is the way that we move our body. Like, when we walk, we typically walk in a front to back movement pattern. However, we also need to be moving laterally and rotationally as well, which is another myth. Like, can I twist during pregnancy? Yes, you can twist. It's necessary to twist. If you don't twist, your back will hurt. Like, I promise you, it's okay to twist. Now, we don't want to do like such deep twists that we're like compressing our belly, because it would be really uncomfortable. Not because it would be harmful for you, but like, we want to be comfortable during our pregnancy. So we want to also be incorporating movement patterns that are in other planes of motion. So not just front to back, we also want like lateral movements. So like lateral band walks, like side lunges, movements where we're going in this direction. And then we also want rotational movements. So like when I'm doing lunges, I'm adding an internal to an external rotation, or I'm doing like a rotation with a core exercise. So we want to think about what type of movements are we incorporating or are included in our workout programs, because that is really important to creating space in our pelvis, which is not the point of this episode, but fitness can really relate to labor in that aspect as well. So it's keeping you strong during your pregnancy. It's helping to support your baby's development. It's helping to decrease your risk of complication, but we can also use it to help prepare for our birth. And so there's three pelvic levels, and I'll go over this super quick. The top opens in one way, then we have the middle, and then we have the bottom. So we have inlet, mid-pelvis, outlet. And they all open with different types of movement patterns, which is where moving in different planes of motion is going to be really helpful. So the top of the pelvis opens with wider knee movement patterns. So external hip rotation with an anterior tilt with abduction. So legs are moving out, think like knees out, ankles in. So like really deep squats, for example. Mm-hmm. An anterior tilt or arching in your back is going to be really helpful because this makes it easier for you to find external rotation. It also changes the pubic bone angle and makes it easier for baby to enter into the pelvis. So the good news is we already do that during pregnancy. That's a common postural tendency that we have. Like, we like to live in that position. It's comfortable for us. We have more weight on the front. We're just extending in our spine and just loving that spot. However, we also need to be able to find other types of movements, such as a posterior pelvic tilt or rounding in the back. This is one really important to opening the top of the pelvis in addition to an anterior tilt. So with a posterior pelvic tilt, we have this big chunk of bone on the back of our pelvis called the sacral promontory that moves backwards when we kind of tuck our butt underneath or we round in our back. And so that anterior pelvic tilt kind of creates a little bit more space in the front half of the inlet. And then that posterior pelvic tilt creates more space in the back. So we want to be able to shift between the two. But because we always favor this extended position, it can be really hard to find that rounded position. And so if you had a prior labor where like baby just never entered, like they're like, your pelvis is just too small, like baby just can't fit in this pelvis, it probably was more related to whether or not you can find, and I don't want to blame anybody for like the what happened labors, but just like helpful tips. Like, if you're having a hard time finding a round in your back or tucking your butt underneath, it's going to be harder to create that front to back space in the pelvic inlet, and it can make it harder for baby to enter. And so during our prenatal workouts, we want to think about, okay, what can we do to help me find more of a rounded position? We can release tension in our lats or block back musculature. We can release tension in our hip flexors. We can incorporate pelvic tilts into our movement patterns. So those are like some things that we can do to help us find this more rounded position. The next pelvic levels, the mid pelvis, is like asymmetrical movements, so like side to side, hip shifting. And so we have a little bit of external rotation, a little bit of internal rotation. And like, there's, we're just kind of like going back and forth between the two. Mm-hmm. And then the bottom of the pelvis with the pelvic outlet is essentially like the opposite of the inlet, where we have internal rotation at the hip, where knees in, ankles out is creating more space side to side. A slight posterior pelvic tilt can help to make internal rotation easier, but we're not necessarily like rounding in our back as we're pushing, because it's not really that comfortable. Anterior pelvic tilt, or like a little bit more lat tension, can kind of pull that sacrum backwards. So we're kind of back to that pelvic tilting a little bit in the outlet, but we're really focusing on that internal rotation to create space. But if we recall, our favorite positions during pregnancy is extension and external rotation.
Yep.
So that rounded position is harder and internal rotation is harder. In addition, that prenatal posture tends to make the back half of the pelvic floor really tight. And so we need to, one, be able to release tension in the posterior pelvic floor and help us find more internal rotation. And we can do that with our prenatal workouts as well. This is where like hip shifted exercises can be really beneficial, like finding internal, external rotation with like our single leg movements. These are all things that we incorporate within our prenatal programming, because we have been observing birth and people working out for a really long time. And we want to help you feel, move through your pregnancy and through your birth. And we also have a free birth prep circuit that I'll give you the link for, that you can put in like the notes as well, that has like 6 movements that help you kind of release those common areas of tension. And we also have our prenatal fitness program if anybody's interested in working out. We have lots of different options for that as well. But when we're looking at our prenatal workouts, we need to look beyond just, okay, one, we just want to be active and intentionally active. And then two, we want to think, okay, well, how does my workout help to support my birth preparation? How is it helping to create more space in my pelvis? How is it helping me release tension in my pelvic floor? Because those are things that are going to help us to support us during birth. So yeah, that was a really long answer to you.
No, it was an amazing answer. And it's so interesting, because I never really thought, like, when you're like front, back, like we focus so much on front, back, and there's that lateral movement that a lot of the times we skip. And I like didn't even think of that. You know, I know in your book, like we've got a couple little teasers online within your book, like even showing like different ways to work those sides and like move your body in different ways. So that is amazing. I love that you talk about the pelvis and the inlet and the middle and the outlet, like, because I'm pretty sure you probably have known this, like within the VBAC community, how many times are we told that our pelvis is too small? I mean, all of the time.
It makes me so mad. It's like, or once you get told like something really random, like a fun fact about your pelvis, like you have a really prominent sacrum or pubic bone. Like, yes. What does that mean?
What does that mean?
How can I take that information and do something with it? Instead of like acknowledging, like, yes, each of us has different types of pelvises, like pelvi, mm-hmm. or whatever the plural is,
yes.
of pelvis. Like, absolutely. We're all like from different ethnic backgrounds. Of course, we would have slightly different pelvises. We have different femur lengths. Like,
right.
However, we can all still figure out how to squat and figure out how to do movement patterns that make us functional humans, even with differing bone structure. And so it just blows my mind that like we don't acknowledge the fact that the pelvis can change shape and diameter and displacement with movement, and that our baby is also shape shifting and kind of wiggling their way through the pelvis as well. But the mm-hmm. only person to blame is you. So because your pelvis is just too small. Like,
right. I know.
Maybe you didn't know how to support me.
I know. Like, I have those same feelings. It's very frustrating. And I think it's probably like a little extra salt on the wound, because I was told that. I was told I would never get a baby out of my pelvis, right? And like you were saying, you're like, well, maybe I just wasn't supported well enough. Like maybe I wasn't given the tools or the positions like what you're describing. I mean, with my first labor, I just sat there in the bed clinging to the side, you know, and then got an epidural and sat there, really. Like,
yeah.
So I wasn't moving my pelvis. I wasn't doing those asymmetrical movements. I really wasn't working with my body to get my baby out. Okay, so a question that I know that we have received is the anterior placenta. So does fitness change if, or what we're doing change if we have an anterior placenta?
Really? So you have an anterior placenta, a posterior placenta, like placenta on the side, like it doesn't really matter where it is unless it is covering the cervix. And at that point, like, there will probably be some sort of modification because we don't want to have any sort of cervical dilation or like cramping or like uterine irritability that can cause placenta or the cervix begin to dilate, which may cause the placenta to start to detach, which would not be ideal. So typically, if you have any sort of like placenta previa, potentially like a low-lying placenta in the third trimester, so like after 28 weeks, then we probably want to modify it to where we're not doing super deep squats. We're not exercising at a high intensity. It's like low to moderate. Like if you begin to experience any cramping or bleeding during your workouts, you're stopping immediately. But in regards to placenta being on the front or the back, like there's really no difference when it comes to exercise. The baby's like pretty snug, snug as a rug in there, or bug, I guess, not pretty a rug.
Snug as a bug in a rug. They're pretty protected in there. They really are. They're pretty deep in there.
They really are. They are. Now, like, when it comes to, like, certain birth options, sometimes anterior placenta can, like, usually it would be, like, an ECV, like, baby's breech. Providers may not want to do it if you have an anterior placenta. Right. With an anterior placenta, it may be harder for you to feel your babies. Like, you should feel them moving, but it'll be, like, muted. Like, you'll be like, I kind of feel you. In comparison, if you had a posterior placenta, there's, like, little alien, like, rolling around.
Or you might not feel the kicks till later on in pregnancy when someone with a posterior is feeling those little butterfly kicks early on.
Yeah, so movement will be, like, more muted. But in regards to exercise, the only placenta position that, like, would result in modifications would be like a low lying or like placenta previa where the placenta is covering the cervix. But usually for those, if you found out like your 18 week anatomy scan, like they usually resolve within like a few weeks. So you can always ask for like a repeat scan, but typically we don't need to modify until like the 28 week mark. But again, if your provider has given you specific guidance on what they consider you to be safe with exercise, because again, they're looking at your medical records. They're looking at you as an individual. This is a podcast. Definitely go with their guidance, but typically they do move. There's usually not an issue like into the third trimester with that either.
Yeah. Okay. So good. And then how, another question is like, how quote unquote late in pregnancy is it okay for me to work out? We're talking about like, you know, early, what we're doing, we may be starting to feel really good. We may be increasing our physical activity and being more mindful of now it's more in, it's on top of intentional movement. It's on birth prep and really getting ready for this birth journey. Is it a time where we should cut off physical activity, or is it okay to be like doing squats and lateral movements and, you know, yoga one day and go into labor the next day?
So you can work out till the day that you give birth. Now, how intense your workouts are will probably decrease towards the end of the third trimester. So usually for us in our programming, like around like the 36, 37 week mark, we do start tapering in the program, which just means we start decreasing like overall volume and like intensity of workouts because one, we're just more tired at the end of pregnancy. We still want to move and be active, but we also need to be in mind that like tonight I might go into labor, so I don't want to be super sore from my workout. So similar to, not that birth is a competition or anything, but similar to if I was training for like an athletic event, I wouldn't want to be doing like my hardest workout like the morning of the competition. Again, birth is not a competition, but like with that type of like fitness mentality, you're like, okay, well, birth is probably going to be physically demanding. Even if it's super fast, it's still physically demanding. Like I probably don't want to be like super sore going into that, or super fatigued going into that. So around like the 36, 37 week mark, you can start kind of just decreasing overall volume. So if you were working out 200 minutes a week, maybe like week 37, we're only doing 150 minutes a week. And then like week 38, we're doing like 100 minutes a week. And then just kind of maintaining that until whenever your baby decides to come. We also do get folks that ask, when is it too late to start? When should I, like, when is it this just done? I would say if you gave birth, it's too late. Like, it's probably too late for prenatal fitness at this point. Kind of like, when is it too late to get an epidural? When your baby's born.
Yeah.
So when your baby is born, it's too late to start a prenatal fitness program. Now, because we'll look at folks that are like 32 weeks, they're like 35 weeks, and they're like, I'll just wait for postpartum. I'm like, you might have 2 months left. A long time.
Yeah.
8 weeks. That's a long, a whole fitness challenge. Or what are, you know, those ones where it's like, 6 weeks to a bigger booty. It might be 6 weeks to a baby. So like that's still a good period of time to like move your body. And it doesn't have to be like training for a PR. It's just learning how to release tension, like trying to build up some stamina, some endurance for like the big day. And now if you're like 38 weeks, like you're like kind of in that, like I can go into labor anytime. Like I probably wouldn't start like a lifting program at that point. I would probably be focusing more on like yoga, walking, mobility type things. Yeah, walking, like just kind of just trying to release tension in my body. Like I wouldn't be like, let me go squat and deadlift for the first time my whole pregnancy. Like I'm going to breathe and stretch kind of. Like that would be like more reasonable to me. So once you hit like the 36, 37 week mark and you're like, well, can I start something now? Absolutely. A prenatal yoga program would be my recommendation, like going for walks, things like that. If you're like 32, 33, even to like 35 weeks, I would say like you can start like a lifting program, or like I would say start like our prenatal program at that point, because we do have like a monthly option. So you can just grab the months that you need. And we also have like just a third trimester on demand program too. So you can still like intentionally move, but it's just going to be a little bit more mindful to the fact that we're kind of at the end of this journey, but it's definitely not too late to start unless you gave birth. And at that point, it's probably a little too late, but yeah, right. What can you do?
Now you're going into postpartum.
Yeah. So
after your baby's born.
Yeah. Then we can focus on postpartum stuff.
Which is also a thing. So postpartum, there's postpartum programs, there's a lot after birth that we can do. And I think, I know this wasn't in the questions that we were talking about, but kind of led into this, where a lot of people don't know when they can start working out after birth. And for my second C-section, at that point, I was a bar instructor. And at 4 weeks, I went back. Before I was technically cleared, I was just kind of following my body, doing like very minimal. But really, when is it appropriate to start a postpartum training program?
It depends on the program. So we have like it's a free early postpartum recovery course that's intended to start like within a few days after birth, which is just breathing, mobility, like some stretches, like really, really gentle stuff just to like reconnect with our body. But it's not like go lift weights or anything. Right. Usually I would recommend doing like a gentle program like that for like 4 to 6 weeks. And I'll give you the link for that one as well. It's a free program that we offer. After about the four to like 10 week mark is when most folks can start to return to fitness. And this will vary from person to person, whether you had a vaginal birth, whether you had a C-section, whether you had a hemorrhage, how much support do you have postpartum? How has your healing been so far? So it can really vary from person to person. Like I can't even say like 4 weeks for unmedicated vaginal birth, right, like 10 weeks if you had a labored C-section, like, because even within that is like a whole realm of like where you might be. So just giving yourself some grace and knowing that there's plenty of time to return to fitness. Like, obviously we don't want to wait like 5 years, but like, it's okay.
You don't have to jump into it.
Yeah. It's okay if you're 12 weeks before you start a program, it will be fine. Again, we don't want to wait for 5 years, but like, that's a long time to lift with being like with whatever we're having from postpartum. So usually like 4 to 10 weeks is when I say, like, if you feel ready, and you're like, you want to start moving your body, that's usually a good time to start. We're looking for bleeding to pretty much be stopped. Like, we're not having any like issues still lingering from birth. So we don't have any like infections from birth. We're not like having post birth surgeries or anything like that. Like, that may delay things a little bit longer. If you've had like a hemorrhage, that will delay you a little bit, just because your blood is trying to replenish itself from all of that. Sometimes with C-sections, hemorrhage can be a little, or blood loss can be a little bit higher, but you can also have severe hemorrhage from a vaginal birth as well. So just kind of honor however you're feeling. And then when you do return to fitness, it's a gradual, slow process of reconnecting with this new body. I know there's sometimes this like mentality of like, I want to bounce back, I want to get back to who I was, especially if postpartum is hard, which it is. Or if birth wasn't what you expected, which it can be for a lot of folks, there can be this like, well, let me get back to something that reminds me of myself, of who I was before. And so I'll do my workouts. I'll get back to my workouts. Mm-hmm. And I love working out. Like that's a part of my identity. Like I can sympathize with that desire. But if we rush that process, it's going to delay you in the long run. You'll be 4 or 6 months postpartum. You'll be like, why am I still leaking? Why do I still have a diastasis? Like I just feel unstable. But when we take the time in the beginning to like really reconnect, like really focus on the foundational core work, like really rebuild slowly, which is painful to do, some like not painful like physically, but painful mentally to do, It like really helps so much in the long run. So take your time. Again, we have a program to support you if you want it, but there's so many programs out there too that suit everyone's individual needs, depending on the type of sport that you're trying to get back to as well.
Right. I love how you really talked about that, how mentally like it can be so hard. And it was for me, it just was so hard. I just needed to like get out and move my body. And I did follow my body. But so what you're saying, like mentally it's hard and can hurt us. But like I physically was too much for me. Like I did have to take a step back. I went to this hour class. I cut it back, but it set me back like 3 more weeks because I was like, okay, probably shouldn't have done that. Noted. Thanks,
it
body.
Happens to the best of us.
Thanks, body, like, for letting us know, you know, and I was able to return. But I love that you talked about like reconnecting with our pelvic floor and all the things. Like breathing in itself is so powerful. So I love that you're focusing on that. And we'll make sure to put in the show notes the link for your program. Okay, so last two questions. Weightlifting, this is a big one. I love weightlifting myself, and I follow quite a few accounts that have gone through pregnancy like yourself and weightlifted. And I am kind of flabbergasted to see some of the negative comments on pregnant people lifting because I don't know, it just bugs me. It bugs me that people are so negative on it and judging them. Like, what are you doing? And you kind of touched on that earlier. Like, I don't know why lifting sometimes with women in general, but like then add pregnancy into that, it's really hard. So you kind of mentioned, well, maybe at the end, you're not going to like join a weightlifting program, but how could someone start very gentle approach to weightlifting? Because I do feel like, especially if weightlifting is not something that you're used to, it can be very, very intimidating. And I know that in your book, you have a little section where it's like, instead of doing this, try this. Instead of doing deadlifts, try these, which is awesome because it can give us an idea. But can you kind of guide someone who's like, I really want to weightlift, but I'm so intimidated to start? What's a really gentle way to start approaching that?
So if you live by us, you can just come to our gym and we'll just walk you through it, which is usually the easiest way to learn how. So if there is like a lifting class somewhere or like an intro to lifting or even like a women's fitness type class, like that could be a good way to get introduced to how do I lift safely. Some CrossFit gyms will have like lifting, like intro to CrossFit, which can or can may not be great for starting during pregnancy, but they can at least teach you how to squat, how to deadlift, how to bench press kind of things. If you're like, there are barbell gyms out there that might have lifting classes, like even just like box gyms, like Planet Fitness or Gold's Gym, like they might even have like lifting classes, hiring a personal trainer to like walk you through what to do. Like, so that could take some of the intimidation out because you don't have to like walk into this big gym to the section that's male dominated and be like, hello, I am pregnant. I am trying to squat. Can you hand me a dumbbell?
Right.
And so it can be really scary to do that. You can also like purchase some weights for your home. Like Dick's Sporting Goods has like really good deals on gym equipment that's very inexpensive. It is cheaper quality, so they won't last you a long time. But if you're like, I just need to get started, like that can be a great place to go. Like Amazon has like really good sales like pretty frequently with like to get like cheap equipment that's still like moderate quality. Like Rep Fitness is one of our favorites for like higher quality equipment that's still affordable. And then Rogue would be like the super expensive brand that's, I would say them and Rep Fitness are the same quality. So it depends on how much you want to invest. You can also just get the stuff to have at your home as well. So usually I would say like grab some dumbbells. If you want to explore barbell work, buy a barbell and some bumper plates. They usually have like sets that you can get for that. Like you can buy yourself a squat rack. That's if you want to do barbell stuff. You can also do a ton of stuff, just kettlebells and dumbbells. I really like resistance bands. Like those are huge in our programming. Like they're really unintimidating. Like they're very easy to use. Some sort of attachment point for resistance bands, like a box to step up on. You can also just use a stool. Like, so it's easy to get started, but you just kind of have to figure out what type of environment do you want to start in? Do you want to start with like a coach-led environment that's going to help guide you through it? Or do you want to try to figure it out on your own? And so like our programming, like we walk you through how to do each movement, especially like the on-demand one. so that you can see, okay, this is how I'm supposed to do it. And then there will be some experimenting to figure out what feels good for you in your body and be like, okay, when I squat, I have to spread my feet out a little bit more and that feels better for me, kind of thing. And so that can be like a good way to get into it and just know that it's safe to do. And I think that's probably the first barrier, that it's safe to do. And like you were saying, like, folks love to comment some hateful things on people that are lifting weights during pregnancy. They comment the same shit on a female just lifting weights who's not pregnant. Like, there is this, I don't know if it's like dudes out there that are just like feeling very inadequate with themselves. They're like, I cannot stand that there's a strong woman out there, so I'm just going to comment and critique her. And then, like I said before, and then you add on the additional layer of like, well, now she's pregnant and we have this overall belief that exercise is dangerous. And like, people say some like horrible things. And I'm like, you do know that you don't have to comment on things, right?
I
like,
know. You can actually just.
That could be an inside thought.
Yes. If you don't have a nice comment to say, leave me alone.
You know, just move on with your life. Because you know what happens? You comment and then you get more pregnancy content on your feed. And then like, you're like, why is this pregnancy post popping up on my feed? Probably because you commented on that pregnant woman who was lifting weights and said some nasty shit. Like, that's probably why it's popping up on your feed, bro.
I love it. Oh my gosh. I know, but it actually makes me very angry. And it's not even just men, it's women too. It's like, why do we have to berate people for being active and choosing to lift weights during pregnancy or run marathons during pregnancy or do whatever they want? Like, it is their body. Like, let them do it. And like, honestly, we need people to share like what you guys do. We need these videos because it does offer us inspiration and also offers us like a sense of like, oh, what they're saying over here isn't true. I want to learn more about this, you know? And it's just, oh, it's so frustrating, but it's possible. So if you want to lift weights, Women of Strength, and you're listening, go for it. Go for it. Check out their program. Get the book, which we're going to talk about right now, I'm hoping. And learn more about fitness and pregnancy and the benefits for both mom and baby, which we were just talking about in the beginning of this. So let's talk more about your book. You said earlier, this is like the twin to your current pregnancy. And like, I can't even admit it. I'm sure it's just like another baby. I'm so excited for you. I'm so proud of you. I hope everybody in the world gets it. So tell us more about it. All the things, you've got three parts, right?
So right now, this is just one part to the book. Hopefully it turns into a three-part series. So I need your pre-order so that we can make a second
pre-order
part.
Pre-order, everyone.
So that's how we get this next two parts. The first part, which will hopefully be a three-part series, is all about how you can use prenatal fitness to support a strong pregnancy, a pain-free pregnancy, and then also to use that to prepare for birth. Because prenatal fitness is not just like a list of pregnancy-safe, quote-unquote, exercises. So it's not just take out all the sit-ups and crunches and all the jumping, and now it's a pregnancy program, which is what the majority of pregnancy programs are. It's just like a bunch of random exercises that just don't involve crunches and sit-ups. Like, cool, that's a great first step. But we can take it way further by ensuring that our workouts are also helping us to prepare for birth. So we're taking the pelvic floor into account. How are we integrating that in the overall system? How are we learning to release tension? How are we increasing mobility within our hips so we can find that internal, the external, like pelvic mobility? Like, how are we, what movements are we incorporating to help increase the pelvic space that we can make more space for our baby to navigate through? What kind of movements are we incorporating in our workout that help to support our baby's position? Like, we're not trying to force baby into any position, but we want to make it easy for them to find whatever their best position is. And we can do that with our prenatal workout. So the book is going to break that down for you. It's definitely a little bit heavy on the lifting side. So we include like modifications for how to deadlift during pregnancy, how to bench press during pregnancy. So all these main lifts, we incorporate tons of accessory exercises, such as core exercises that you can do during pregnancy, what signs and symptoms to be mindful of when doing core exercises, like how to like protect your core and pelvic floor during pregnancy. We incorporate exercises to help with pelvic stability, because pelvic pain is super common, but you don't have to be in pain during pregnancy. And similar to you, my provider, when I told him I had pelvic pain, they're like, that sucks.
I know,
or
right?
When you give birth, it'll go away. And I'm like, well, that's not true.
See, yeah.
There's a lot that we can do during pregnancy to help resolve that as well. So the book is just kind of like a collection of all the things that I have learned from working with in-person prenatal clients, from supporting in-person births. Hundreds of clients have helped me gain all this information to write this book, and my educational background and things that I've researched and studied have all kind of been consolidated within this book specific to prenatal fitness and using your prenatal fitness to stay strong and then also to help you prepare for birth. And there's a little bit in there on like labor. A bunch of that stuff got taken out because I write a lot. I have too much knowledge in this head of mine. So that's why I need a 3-part series.
Yes.
And then there's one chapter on early postpartum recovery as well. And we also include like how to recover from a C-section in there. It's just like the first month postpartum. So it's just like a taste of what book 3 will be. So help me get part 2 and 3 by pre-ordering the book. It's on Amazon. I'll give you the link as well. Mm-hmm. It's like $24 or $25. I think the book comes out September 14th. So hopefully after my baby has been born, I will be very sad if I'm 43 weeks pregnant. So I will be in the infancy of my postpartum with a newborn when this next baby B has been born, and would love your support with pre-ordering it. We're trying to figure out like pre-order incentives right now. So we may have that the chapter that got cut, folks that pre-order get that chapter as a PDF, which is all the labor stuff. So how to address labor stalls, laboring positions, like what is a contraction?
So good.
It was such a good chapter. But that'll be in part 2, which is going to be birth. Part 3 is postpartum fitness. So help me get the other parts by ordering the book.
Yes.
It's on right now. Really excited by it. So yeah.
I am so excited for you. And yeah, it's $24.99. That is amazing. We will make sure, like she said, to have the links to all of these things, including this book pre-order link, in the show notes. So right now, as soon as you're done listening and you're like, dang, that was an awesome episode, go down, click the link, and support her by buying her book. It is called Training for 2. She's absolutely beautiful on that front cover, holding her sweet baby bump. You guys, I'm so excited for this book. I'm so excited for you. And I'm so grateful that you were with us today sharing all this information.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.